May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I know that I've shared in the past that this is one of my life verses from Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. But I'm going to read the four verses through, all the way through verse 28. Whom have I in heaven? And with thee I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. For behold, those who are far off from thee, O Lord, and from your presence, they will ruin and perish. You have cut off those whose hearts have committed spiritual adultery. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my God, my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. And again, if you've heard me share a little bit about this before, the psalm starts with the psalmist being jealous because he's watched the unrighteous prosper. He's grown bitter in his heart towards them and towards God because he's been very faithful to God and he doesn't feel like he's prospered like the unrighteous have. And then God opens his eyes in the secret place and gives him insight into the unrighteous's future and what's happening to them really because they're far from God, that they're actually ruining their life. Their life is spoiling, being destroyed. That's what he says in verse 27. He says, those who are far from your presence perish. It's not necessarily just talking about eternally perish. Their life is just ruining and wasting. And he ends the psalm by saying, because here's the whole point, what I've discovered is that I've been jealous and bitter because of all the good things that seem to be happening to them when it's not happening to me, but I have the best thing of all. I have his presence. And he says, the nearness of God is my good. And that word is the Hebrew word good, just covers a lot of territory. It prospers my soul, and I find change and transformation and wholeness in his presence. When I was thinking about that this morning in prayer, it just blessed me again how simple that is, Lord, that your nearness is my good. It's there that I'm fulfilled. It's there that I'm satisfied. It's there that I experience completeness. It's there that I change and I'm transformed in your presence and your nearness. So it would make sense then that Satan would do everything he can to keep you from the nearness of God. I like the language nearness instead of just presence, because we can speak of God's presence as being anywhere, but nearness relates to a relationship where I'm experiencing his presence. And that's where life is found. He's my very life. He's your very life. And so the devil's going to do anything he can to keep you from experiencing the nearness of God's presence. In Hebrews, there's a couple of places kind of addresses this again. I've discovered in doing this ministry thing now for about 40 years that the number one thing, there are other things and distractions. Remember Martha and Mary, and she had chosen the good part and it will never be taken away from her. So there are choices you have to make to pursue the nearness of God and to cultivate the nearness of God. Not just so that you experience in the secret place in your time alone with God, but though you carry that nearness with you even out into the public arena. In the secret place you cultivate, and anybody can do that. You don't even have to know how to read or write. Anybody can pray. That's why it's so hard to pray. That's why the devil doesn't want you to pray. Because even the most illiterate person can cultivate the highest level of the nearness of God and be able to carry that with them. Some of the greatest saints who ever lived couldn't read or write, couldn't read their Bible, couldn't do the daily devotional, couldn't do the little booklet that you get at the Christian bookstore. But the other thing I find that the enemy uses to keep believers from cultivating the nearness of God is guilt and condemnation. That it just creates this block where we don't feel like we deserve to approach him. Because even though God wants us to come to a place where we carry his nearness, that personal, intimate experience of his presence everywhere we go, it is cultivated in the secret place. And the enemy does everything through guilt and condemnation to make you feel like you don't have a ticket into that environment, that you've lost the right to approach him. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, our failures. Even though Jesus never sinned, he knows what it feels like to be tempted. And so therefore, he has understanding. Now hear me again. It's not that God, who's omniscient, didn't understand. God in heaven can't understand. He understands everything. But one of the reasons Jesus came, one of the reasons the incarnation happened, is so that we would know he understands. Jesus became a man and was tempted in every way like unto us. And it's all about nearness. Not just about what he did at the cross, which cleared the way, but it's so that you and I would understand that Jesus lived as man. And in his humanity, he understands. So it makes it easier for me in my weakness, in my failure, in my inconsistency, to approach him. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore, in light of that, draw near. Nearness. With confidence in the throne of grace. Not the throne of judgment. Because Jesus is my high priest. It's not the throne of judgment. He's standing on my behalf. He's interceding on my behalf. That we may find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we're needy people. And it's in God's presence at the throne of grace. Nearness brings me the help. I change in the presence of the Lord. And so we have to be able to approach his presence or we're never going to be changed. We're never going to change. We're going to be stuck. I love Hebrews chapter 10. If I keep turning past it. Hebrews chapter 10 says in verse 19, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place. How? By the blood of Jesus. As my high priest, what is he pleading on my behalf? He's presenting to God the Father my ticket all the time, his blood. He has every right, she has every right to approach nearness, to approach presence, to cultivate nearness. Not because she or he have been sinless or performed well enough or have warm affections in their heart for us right now, Father, but because of my blood. When I've lost my warm affections is when I need to get in his presence more than any other time because there he inflames my affections for him. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way by which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with an honest, transparent heart. Because you see, again, only in his presence can you change. And if in your presence, his presence, you're afraid to be honest about what he already knows, he can't change you. Let us draw near with a sincere and honest heart. And in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed through the waters of baptism. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. If it's in his nearness that's my good, then being in his presence is really important. Walking in his presence, abiding in his presence, carrying his presence all day is so important. And that door is wide open, stuck open for you and me because of the blood of Jesus. Not because, again, you've been loving him really good today or because you've performed really well. You can get there simply because of what Jesus has done. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.